read a verse in Revelation chapter 22, the last verse in your Bible. Let me read these to you. And he testifies to these things, saying, "Surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Jesus says, "I come, and I come quickly." Are you ready for his coming? If he would come tonight, if he'd come tomorrow, if he'd come this afternoon, are you ready? And so the title of today's message is, and I try as a pastor for years to preach all the doctrines of the Scriptures. And the second coming of Christ is a doctrine that has been laid aside, and we don't hear about it. We don't talk about it. But boy, it's an exciting part to look into. So today I want to teach us about get ready, get set, here I come. Jesus says he's going to come quickly. Now see, God doesn't have a watch in heaven. He doesn't have a calendar in heaven. There's no time. He's eternity. He's forever and ending. And so these few years that we are here in America and all this time of creation will be just like a quickly moment in a space of eternity. And he's going to come quickly. You know, every once in a while we have a big family get together at our house, and when we do, you know what we do? We clean the house. We get ready for their coming. We make sure everything's in place. We make everything is just as good as we can get it, and look good, and all that stuff. So when you hear sermons about the coming of Christ, it'll help us to be ready. It'll help us to know that he's coming. Now, the Bible I'm going to read to you says that preacher asked one time, he's getting ready to preach a message on the second coming, and he says, how many believe, honestly believe right here today that Jesus could come before I get done preaching? How many believe that that could happen right now? How many believe he's coming? Not a person raised their hand. They didn't believe he's really going to come that quick. He said, I'm really scared. He said, I'm scared because the Bible says he's going to come when nobody thinks he's coming. It could happen. It could happen. And so I want you to know he's coming, and I want you to know he wants you to be ready. The reason why he closes the book, I'm coming quickly, be ready for my coming, and I want us to be paying attention because our lives live out better. Our lives focus on him more. Our lives before become kind one to another. As we talked about anger this morning, it destroys every nation. Every war, every fought, every divorce ever came, it was over anger. Anger is a root of a lot of stuff. And the lack of that, and the cause of it all, is love that hasn't been found in Christ. Now, get ready, get set, here I come. I remember as a little boy, we lived in Illinois. My father was pastoring there years ago. We lived in a project. There was kids everywhere. Man, we were just in the midst of that time and season of our life. And at night, over where we lived, there was a big telephone pole, and it had a light on that telephone pole. Probably the only light within a couple block area. And so what we would do, we'd get about a dozen people, sometimes 20 of us, and we'd play hide and seek. I don't know if you ever played hide and seek, but this is the way it works. Who's ever it would stand there at that telephone pole where the light was and count down to 100. In the meantime, everybody else, while he's counting, should be out hiding. And the way the game went, as soon as I said 100, ready or not, here I come, I begin to leave my base. I open my eyes, and I begin to try to find you. And if I can tag you before you get back to the base, you're it. And so we played hide and seek all the time. It was probably one of the most memorable things we do. And so if you're listening to hide and seek and you get up to about 90, 91, 93, 95, you're getting excited because somebody's going to come real quick looking for you. In the scope of time about the coming of Christ, I don't want you to set your alarm clock. I don't want you to mark your calendar. But I believe we're in the 90s. I believe he's on his way back. I believe it's coming. After I preach this message today, you'll understand why I think that. after I preach this message, this, because Jesus gives us times and symbols and understanding about his coming so we'll be ready for it. He speaks directly about it. And the reason why he does, he wants us to be ready. Wouldn't it be terrible that I said 100 and there's a guy standing right behind me and didn't even hide? I mean, he's it. You don't want to be it. And so we need to be ready for the coming of Christ. It's real important. In Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to start with tonight, it starts with a question from the disciples. When are you coming back? Because Jesus was teaching the disciples all about his whole life. He taught them about his living. They seen it in front of them. He told them about his death. He told them about the resurrection. They never really got it, because when they died, they couldn't understand it. They didn't even go to the cross. They all run. On Resurrection Sunday, not one of them showed up. Can you imagine missing the first Easter? Can you imagine if all the disciples was lined up and Jesus come out in that resurrected body? Man, they'd still be shouting. But they didn't even show up. He explained that to them. But he also explained that he's going to die, go back to the Father. Holy Spirit was going to come. And then he explained to them one day he's going to come back and redeem the world to himself. So he taught them that in verse 3 of Matthew 24. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, this was kind of a secret gathering. This was just the end of the 12 and just Jesus. 13 there. Privately, they said, we've got this thing been bugging us, God. Jesus, tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Tell me when you come, and what will be the signs that we know you're coming at the end of the age? And so I'm going to talk tonight about the signs, because Jesus tells them the signs. They ask the question, he answers it. So he begins to tell them that there are some questions here, and I want you to be aware of that. And he wants to be a part of this. Now, I've talked about this a few times. I need to preach a couple messages about it, but we live in the church age today. You know, after the Moses and Israel and Jesus coming, when Jesus came to the earth, he began the church age, a church period. Now, that is the time when God became and he planted his church. In Matthew 16, he says, I will plant my church upon this rock. Peter, he's talking to him. On this big rock. And the gates of hell will now stand against it. He said, this will be my bride. The New Testament church. The New Testament church wasn't in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they had the temple. And they would all go and they'd offer sacrifices. The priests, they would cut the bulls and the goats. And they had church in the old service. In the old temples of the old days. In the New Testament era, we don't come and offer up blood no more. We celebrate the blood of Jesus that died to wash away our sins. He was our final sacrifice. So it's totally different. This is the New Testament church. I don't care if it's Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, Pentecost. We're the bride of Christ. And we need to treat his bride pretty good because he really loves his bride. And that's the church. And so we're now in that era. But there's going to come a time when the church era is going to end. It's going to become a tribulation time. And it's basically back for the Jewish people. Remember the Jewish people, the apple of his eye. He himself was a Jew. He was king of the Jews. And so he loves his people. In the old covenant, in the Old Testament, the law, they couldn't do it, man. They just sinned away. Sin and sin and sin. And so God brought a new testament, a new covenant. But he is going to come back for those of the days that have come into their life, into the Jewish lineage, to the Jewish people, to the Jewish family. It is going to be their day in the tribulation period. That will be a day, they will tell me in the Bible, there will be more people saved in that 7-year tribulation than ever been saved. So he's coming back for the Jews. But it's going to be a horrible time. It's going to be the Antichrist. It's going to be suffering. You know, write this down. Christianity always prospers in suffering. It always gets lackadaisical, and we forget about it when things are going good. When money's in our pocket and we're all happy, we can live without God. And it happens too often. So, but in that time, when the church age comes to an end, in Matthew 16:18, he commissioned the church. In Acts 1:8, he empowered the church. He said, my Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and ye shall be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the most parts of the world. So he empowered his church with the Holy Spirit. He initiated his church in chapter 16, verse 18, and he says the gates of hell can't stand against it. But then one day he's going to come back. He's going to rapture out the church, all the church people, all the church age. He's going to step out of glory, and we're going to be raptured to a place called heaven. It's going to be a great day. Can you imagine? We're going to read about it in a few moments. But it's an exciting event. It's coming. But then all those who are left here, the Antichrist, the evil runs loose, persecution, bloodshed, terrible things will happen. But many are going to come to know Christ. It's for his children. So I want to put that in perspective, that God wants to bring it back in a very special way. And when he comes back, let me ask you something. Are you ready? If Jesus would come back before the week's over with, is there somebody you need to tell about Jesus before he comes? Do you have a friend that's never been saved, you never prayed for? Have you got loved ones that are out of fellowship? You got loved ones that are walking away or maybe lost? If you knew Jesus was coming this week, what would you do different? Would you be thinking about them, praying about them? It doesn't make any difference how much you got your 401k. Don't make any difference if you got a degree. Doesn't make no difference if your house is paid for. When Jesus is coming back, it's forever. And he's coming back is what he's saying. Tell me the signs so you know. If we live like he's coming, we will live better. If I always live, the people going to visit my house would be spotless 24/7. Well, God wants my heart spotless 24/7. He wants us to live. The last verse in the Bible, I'm coming quickly. Be ready. I want you to know I'm coming. And so, in Matthew 24:3, he asks the questions. Now, over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, I want to read to you. There was an argument about, some people believe that when you died, you lived in the grave. You're dead in the grave, and then when Jesus comes, we're all going to be resurrected. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. The moment my mother died, I watched my mother die. The moment she took her last breath, she don't remember her last breath. You can never remember going to sleep. You know what my mother remembered when she took her last breath? She woke up in a place called heaven. What a day that will be when my mother loved Jesus. My mother never went to Walmart or Kroger's anywhere in her life that she wasn't hunting for Jesus. Nowhere. She'd embarrass me, and I was her son, the preacher. I'd say, Mom, do you got to call everybody out? Well, why not, son? You're the preacher. Why don't you call them out? My mother loved Jesus so much. I was talking about it today on the way to church. She was a warrior. My father, a warrior for the Lord. Not like my mother. My mother was the preacher's wife. My dad did all the talking in the pulpit. She did all the talking at Walmart. I mean, she just stayed at it. But he's coming back. So some people said, the moment she died, she's in glory. And so some people are having this big discussion in Thessalonians. Where are the people who died that was in the Lord? And I want to read this in verse 13, chapter 4. But I do not want you to be ignorant. There's a difference between ignorant and stupid. Stupid can't learn. Ignorant can learn. It just hasn't learned yet, right? Forrest Gump says stupid as stupid does. God says don't be ignorant. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those things that have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You think you're in the grave? You think you're stuck down there in a mud hole? You think you're laying down there rotten? I don't want you to be ignorant about that. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus. Those who have died, they're resurrected. Boom! Now, in the last day, in the twinkling and all that, there's going to be some changing going on in their glorified bodies. But right now, they're in a place called heaven. I don't know where that is, but I got this good feeling. I believe it's okay. You know why? That's where Jesus is. And I want to be where Jesus is. He says, don't be ignorant of this. He says, for this say to them by the word of the Lord, that when you're alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Man, I like it when Jesus comes back. Look what he says. when he sends from, he sounds with a shout. Man, can you imagine hearing a shout from God? Hello! I'm here. Wow. Whole world to hear it. And with the voice of an archangel. Wonderful. And with the trumpet of God. Can you hear that trumpet? Can you hear all this taking place when it comes? It's going to come in a twinkling of an eye. It's going to come quickly. There'll be two in the field. One will be gone. One will be lost. One will be in the bed. One will be gone. Boom. He sounds. The trumpet sounds. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we are alive, remain, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall always be the Lord. In verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't it great comfort to know that our families went on before us as with the Lord? So we comfort one another. And one day he's going to come and take us all. But until then, our saints of God are with God today. Those who have passed on. So he's letting us know that he's going to come. There's going to be a rapture. It's going to take place. Great things are going to happen. Let's go back to the tribulation period. This is a time when this happens, all the Christians in this world have been raptured. Just a twinkling of an eye. We're leaving. Man, I like taking off on an airplane. But can you imagine when God raptures us out of here? You're talking about a plane. They think that spaceship can go somewhere. Man, you wait till when God just comes and calls us home. He steps out. The voice of an angel. The trumpet blows. Come on, children. Let's go home. What a day that's going to be. Amen. We're going to heaven. And we're going to live forever. And never have a bad day. Never even get mad at nobody in heaven. Isn't it good? It's just wonderful. My wife can't wait to see me in heaven. She's been trying to make me perfect for years, but I'll be perfect there, amen? This is going to be a great day. She's going to love me even more that day. I'll be perfect. I got a long way to go. Now, in verse 4, in the tribulation, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, because during the Antichrist, there's going to be a lot of deception going on. For many will come in my name, saying, I'm in Christ, will deceive you. Joseph Smith has come and says he's better than God. Muhammad, the Muslims, say that they're better with God. Allah. Many will come. The Jehovah Witness. Many will come. I'm not against any religion that teaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ. But a cult, it's war. It's a spiritual war. You know what a cult is? A cult, number one, believes they're the only one going to heaven. And number two, they believe Jesus is not God. That's the two rules for a cult. They believe they're the only ones going to heaven. And they believe that Jesus is not God. They just believe he was a great prophet. That is a cult. I believe Jesus is God in the flesh, Emmanuel. And he suffered and died for me. He says, he will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Now, when he comes, there's going to be pestilence. You know what a pestilence is? The coronavirus. Pestilence is a virus that attacks the whole world. I've read this for years in the last days, that the virus and illness will come that will attack the whole world. How in the world can that happen? And it's happened right now. We are stopped dead in the tracks. Billions and billions of dollars in the bank. Got the biggest planes and the biggest missiles in the world. We've got more power and more authority, and we have to have a 6-foot distance or we're dead. Now, tell me that the power of God isn't real. Listen to this. There'll be earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. It's not the end. It's a warning that it's coming. Got it? You'll know the signs of the time. When I look at the pestilence, and I look at the wars, and I look at everything that's happening, it is a pretty good sign. He's coming. Say amen. Amen. Hey, Logan, you promised me some amens this morning, and you reneged. You just need to step up there, okay? All right. Okay. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. It's the beginning of the signs. They will deliver up into tribulation and kill and will be hated by the nations and by my name's sake. And then many of them will offend and will betray one another and would hate one another. You know, I spoke about anger today, but you know what? I'm amazed at America, how quickly we can kill one another. How easy it is just to snuff us out. How easy it is to break into somebody's house and steal everything in it and don't even care. It's the signs of the times. Many false prophets will rise and deceive many. Man, turn on your radio stations and TVs. They're out there raising money for nothing for themselves, building castles. And because lawlessness is all abound, the love of many will grow cold. Is lawlessness all around in America? We've called the National Guard out. We've called the Army out. And we still can't stop lawlessness because the anger is ripping America apart. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations when they will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads it, let it be stand. Daniel the prophet in the Old Testament, he gave us a foretaste of the tribulation. Read back. Isn't that amazing how you can read back in the Old Testament what God's going to do at the end? And Daniel knocked it down. And so he says, all this is going to come to place. It's the beginning of the sorrows. It's getting us ready for the big day. Now, when it begins to come, things will begin to happen in our lives. And I want to read with you, if I could, in Luke, Matthew 24, verse 36. It says, but of that day, the hour, no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. No one knows who's coming. When it's coming. And when you get these guys get on TV and says on May the 7th, 1997, they're going to be here, I guarantee you, he's not coming that day. That's one day he's not going to show up because nobody knows. But see, our ignorance today are so easy to be enslaved. But as the days of Noah were also with the coming of the Son of Man be. Let me tell you something. Of all the signs about the coming, the wars, pestilence, the evil, the cries. The one that makes me pay more attention to anything is in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, let me read that. It's in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was so great on the earth that every intent of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know why God took out the world and the only one lived was in that boat? In the days of Noah, and the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Let me tell you the most wicked thing you can do. I believe the most wicked thing you can do, and we become pretty raunchy and pretty evil. But I believe when we kill a baby in the womb of a mother, that's about as wicked as you can be. The safest place in the world for a baby should be in the womb of a mother. And women's rights, forgot about God's right. Killing is still killing. If ladies are listening to this and you've been through abortion, my heart goes to you. My heart prays for you to be healed from that. But if they tell you that you couldn't raise a baby, there'll be 1,000 people who'd like to try to raise your baby. You don't have to kill a baby. Jeremiah said God called him when he was still in the womb of his mother. I don't believe there can be anything more despicable today. And we as America fight over it and think it's a political issue. It is a spiritual. In the last days, you can kill babies and not think nothing of it. Pay attention. He says, He says, in every intent and thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. In the book of Judges, when the kings weren't here yet and the judges run the place, in the last book in the last verse in the book of Judges says, and man did what was right according to his own eyes. You know, when you start doing right according to what you think, it's amazing what can become right. Amen? And that's what we're doing. He says in the book of Genesis, he says, in the days of Noah, you know I'm coming when it gets like that. Let me tell you something. In the days of Noah, if he would not judge us like he did Noah, he wouldn't be a fair God. Wouldn't it be unfair for him to take out the whole world because of that sin and not take us out? Say yes. Be unfair. So in the days of Noah, he says, when it gets like that, I'm coming. And today, everything is pointing towards that end. Evil is in the palm of our hands. You know, the number one hit on the internet, in the phones, in the world is pornography. Billions and billions and billions. We've defaced the ladies' life in this world. The music that sings about ladies degrades ladies. It's amazing. Listen to the junk that's out there. And about the pornography, how we destroy that. It's running loose in our teenagers' hands. Tell me it isn't getting close as in days of Noah. Tell me it isn't getting close. In the palm of our hands, degrading the women. You know, I never was aware of that. I heard a preacher preach about it one time. And he gave me about 30 songs. He had just slipped. And I didn't know who all the authors were. Some of them was rap. Some of them was this and that. All different styles of music. But if you listen to what they call women in these songs, they degrade ladies like you. I never thought was possible. I never knew it was out there. But it is degrading. You know how I know it's degrading? Because pornography, all it does is degrade women. It's ever before us today. In the days of Noah, it's coming. Now, let me give you another reason why I think he's coming. Another sign. In Mark 10, I want to read verse 10, chapter 10, verse 6 through 8. Write this on your bathroom mirror. Before the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. That's man and woman. He didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve, okay? And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And in his house, his disciples ask him again about the same matter. God says marriage is it. Our Supreme Court of the United States of America has declared it's no longer God's business to tell us what marriage is. We'll tell you what marriage is. It's not half between a man and a woman. It can be any way you want to put it. And you can't tell us how to do it. Whenever the Supreme Court in America, United States of America, trumps God, it's not over. Our Supreme Court decided to be God and do exactly what God said we're not to do. Signs of the time. It's scary. America is now on its own. There's no true north. There's no true north anywhere in America. You can go to one church and they'll teach this or preach this or go to one denomination or go to one cult. What is right? What is wrong? I was talking to little Dimitri. He's my little grandson. He's a little whiz. He is a smart little dude. We got him from Russia. And man, they gave him all the smartness in the world Russia had. Send him over to my house. Amen. So I talked to Dimitri about signs of the time and right and wrong. And, you know, not many people have a big worldview about what God, what the world means. You know, it's just kind of in our neighborhood. But Dimitri's got a worldview. And sometimes his worldview isn't real biblical. And so I say, now Dimitri, God doesn't teach that about creation. God teaches creation this. He says, Grandpa, science has said it didn't happen that way. Here's my little 10-year-old grandson. that would rather listen to scientists than God. He'll argue with me. He'll quote, "The scientist said it." You know, the only people who really believe what scientists said are scientists. Because it changes all the time. There's no absolute with it. It's all time. But my little 10-year-old grandson, you would bait that with a preacher, grandpa. Signs of time. And he loves the Lord. Demetrius is a Christian. He loves Jesus, man. I baptized that boy. I held him down for 3 minutes. He still lived. Now he's alive. Amen. He got him. We fixed him. And still listen to scientists over God in principles. You know, when there's no true north, when there's no true, man does what's right according to his own eyes. Is he coming? Psalms 119:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and his firmament shows the handiwork." Just look to heaven, and you can see a great God. Amen? Look up there. He's there. Now, I want to close, but I got to read something in Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. I want you to get this. I want you to see in Revelation chapter 6, in the last days, four horses are going to run. Five horses are going to run. And they're going to tell us what's going to happen in the tribulation period. During this tribulation, this is what's going to take place. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. Now, let me just say this. In Revelation chapter 6, the church has already been raptured. We're gone. This is the lost people in this world. And there'll be two in the bed, one will be gone, you know, there'll be a lot of people just gone. Just, can you imagine being in a 747 flying over Europe and the Lord comes back? I hope that their pilots are Christian and we're in a mess, okay? I mean, not a Christian because he's gone. That plane's going down. Think about that. Think about when he comes back, how the world's going to change. But then there's Antichrist. There's this guy going to show up. And I also wonder, how in the world can one guy entice the whole world? Ladies and gentlemen, it happens every day. All it takes is a lot of charisma and a lot of power, a lot of authority, and all of a sudden the world will follow him like nothing. It'll just go. So this is what happens in that tribulation. "And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.'" He says, he opened the seal, and he opened that seal to see what it says, because God gave him, he sealed the book. And so they had to find someone to open the book. Jesus opened the book and began to read it to them about the coming of Christ. "Four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And behold, I looked, a white horse. He that sat on had a bow and a crown was given him, and he went out to conquer and to conquer, war after war after war." When the white horse runs, there's going to be wars all over the world. And ladies and gentlemen, this world is a tag of dynamite. If somebody ticks off Russia or ticks off China, boom, it's all gone. He says the white horse is running, and all of a sudden there'll be wars and rumors of wars and wars everywhere like you've never seen. Signs of the time. Second seal. When he opened the second seal, I heard and that was the white horse. The next horse was a pale. He says, he opened the seal. I heard the second voice, living creature, saying, "And he come with a fiery red, went out. And it granted to those who sat on to take peace from the earth, and the people should kill one another. And there was given him a great sword." People are going to kill people like you've never seen. When the red horse runs, it's murder. You know, I think it's okay if you want to own a gun in America. But after these riots started in America these last 2 weeks, gun sales have tripled, the highest number in the history of America. Because everybody wants a gun to protect their own house because they're afraid. When this red horse runs, it's murder after murder after murder. When the red horse runs. Signs of the time. Number three, when he opened the third seal, I heard the living creature saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a black horse. He that sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. They run out of food. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I never thought I'd ever see. I've traveled all around the world. Let me tell you something. You go to a grocery store in Russia, in Africa, in any place that I've been, and you're lucky to find three things on a shelf anytime. It's just bare. I walk in America and see our grocery stores, and you know what? It's just normal for us. But in the last 2 weeks, I went to the grocery store, couldn't find a good steak. And this is really weird. Couldn't even find toilet paper. When we run out of toilet paper, we're in trouble. He says there will literally be wars. And he said there'll be hunger. And there'll be starvation. And no food. I say that jokingly about our meat supply and other supplies in America. How could that ever happen? It's happened now. Signs of the times. Never thought it. My daughter came back. She said, Grandpa, Dad, I couldn't even get him a hamburger. It's all gone. Signs of the times. Well, the last seal. And he opened the fifth seal. I saw on the altar souls of those who were slain by the word of the Lord, testimony in their hands. Now, those people who survived this suffering, those who have been saved, let me tell you something. In this tribulation that I just read you about, when all this takes place, you know what's going to be happening? Preaching. You know what's going to happen? There are going to be many come to Jesus. In Antichrist, you're going to have a stamp 666. When you go in to buy, you'll have a little stamp. You'll need a credit card. You'll do this. And if you don't have the 666, you don't have that stamp, you can't buy or sell nothing in the world. But the Christians that hold out, they're killed. But they're on their way to glory. The suffering is going to take place. I tell you all this because the disciples asked Jesus, when are you coming back? Let me show you some signs. Let me show you some signs. There will be a lot of people saved at that time. Jesus is ready to come back. Are you ready for him? How many people have you prayed for? How many times have you shared your faith? I know you got forever to do it. But why haven't you done it yet? You know the reason why a lot of them haven't done it? They're just ticked off. They're mad about something. He's coming back. The days are dark. He's going to come when we least expect it. 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100. Ready or not, here I come. I'd take off and tag everybody I could. Who are you tagging? Who are you helping? Where are you stuck? Ready or not. I hope you believe Jesus is coming. Hope you're excited about his coming. He says, Maranatha, come quickly. Come on. Here's the way this works. Lord, don't come right now. We got more lost people than we've ever had in America. Let's get them saved. Here's the way this works. A year from now, there'll be another million lost people that's going to go to hell. A year from that, there'll be another million lost people going to go to hell. The longer he waits, the bigger hell becomes. You know how hard it is for him to wait? Because he knows that. But he's waiting for us to be like him. To tell the world, love will take care of your anger. That's what he's waiting for people like you and I to get this down. And we're not doing a real good job. Not doing a real good job. I hope you believe he's coming. I'm going to ask you to pray about this. I'm going to ask you to say, Lord, I need to get ready. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for my promotion. I thank you for my savings. I thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. but come quickly. My job doesn't mean nothing. My money doesn't mean nothing. Heaven means everything. And if you're living for what you get out of this world, you need to make an investment in the kingdom of God. It lasts forever. You know, the only thing that lasts forever is what you give away. The only thing that lasts, what we give away. And we're hoarders. I tell you what, if Jesus come back today, I believe this is an autonomy of a sad story. You know how many billions and billions and billions of dollars churches have in their savings account? In case God doesn't come back? You tell me there's something wrong with it. A church with a saving account is like a Bible without faith. We need to be spending it now. You know why? He's coming, and come quickly. Let's pray about that. Father, you're the Father that runs the planet and loves us so much that you died for us. You tell us we can see the signs of the time. God, I believe you're coming back. And God, I'm going to ask you to come quickly. I want everybody to be saved. God, I want you to come and help us. Help us to see the signs of the times so we can be ready for it like never before. Prepare our hearts. Prepare our churches for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for listening tonight. Ready or not, he's coming. Get ready. We open in our doors the 21st. You better not wait till 21st to get your heart right. You can do it right there in your living room, wherever you are. You can have a shouting time going to work in the morning. Just let God help you. But get close to Jesus. You know why? He's coming back. And he wants us ready. Get that way. Help you any way we can. Pray the Lord bless you in a special way. Be part of all the ministries happen. Be praying for churches. Be praying for churches all over this world that's trying to open up. I want to pray for a spirit-anointed worship service. I don't want to pray that we can say we had 30 people show up in our church open. I'm not interested in 30 people showing up in my church open. I'm interested in the anointing of God on our lives to take care of us. And I'm not looking for hundreds of people. I'm just looking for people who are ready to worship God. Plus nothing. Plus nothing. Let's pray for that because it'll change us. It'll change our community. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus' name, and write down your vision for your church. Think about it. Wake it up and be paying attention as we get ready for that 21st. Thank you.